She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man.
Homer, our cousin sub of the day. Jen traveling to James Madison for game day. Is Chewy's going to visit?
Does anybody know where James Madison is? I think Virginia.
Yeah, I didn't even know if Jen, like, just talking with her this week, she wasn't 100% sure where it was, just knew it was really hard to get to. There's not, like, a direct flight into whatever town it happens to be. I believe it is
Harrisburg, Virginia.
Yeah, it's in Harrisburg. Just tough to get to. But they're a great story in college football, so you can check out the stories she'll have available tomorrow morning, College Game Day, on ESPN. A big story throughout the course of this week has been the Packers, and specifically their run defense. Monday, we had Matt LaFleur deciding he wanted to get into a semantics argument about whether or not outside linebackers are defensive linemen, missing the larger point of, well, you had nickel on the field on first and goal from the four. How do you expect to stop the run nickel from the goal line? Well, Joe Barry, he decided to step up. He had an explanation apparently yesterday saying you should be able to stop the run in the nickel formation.
I firmly believe that, you know, when you are in nickel and you're in solo gap defense, you should be able to stop the run, you know, but you still got to get off blocks. You still, you know, got to keep your feet. You still have to, when an opportunity comes about, you have to tackle.
Here's the problem with that. We had a head coach earlier this year in Matt LaFleur who said, trying to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, the definition of insanity. And yet here we are with Joe Barry trying to defend himself 2.5 years into this, trying to stop the run while playing nickel all the time.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Well, no. And now that he actually has some defense, he doesn't even know how to use it. I could be Joe Barry. Hey, we didn't make that play right. We were 10th and now we're 11th in the league in points given up. The essence of any defense is to not give up points. And yes, we misplayed that. But there, he has some support for what they're doing. The offense is not 11 best in the league. The problem with this team is the offense, as was the case last year relative to the way it's played. So, yes, why you can't say, we just messed up or whatever, but look at what we're doing. You want to give up points? You know, I don't consider stopping the run maybe as much as you do. As long as we're not giving up points, that's the way I believe is best for the team, and so we can argue forever.
But the problem is, with the Packers' schedule, they haven't played teams that can score points. So, like, that factors into them being 11th in the league.
That does.
Because I'll tell you this, Homer.
Yes.
After this weekend, ain't going to be 11th in points.
Well, okay, but then you have games later on.
Yeah, that again, against craptastic teams.
Fine, if your defense is that bad against, we've seen this with Joe Barry, so against some craptastic teams, they've been crap.
Yeah.
So there's no limit. I mean, there's no limit to how bad it can be with Joe Barry. But he has some evidence to support his approach, which he doesn't even use.
Yeah, it's if he is expecting to stop the run this week with Austin Ekeler in nickel.
Well, and we know this. He makes no adjustments to the team that he's playing. There are some exceptions, but very few.
Correct.
This is what we do.
Yep.
We don't care about giving up the run.
No, he does not.
Right.
You can't argue otherwise because over 2.5 years, the evidence is you don't care about stopping it.
So explain what you care about more and then stay with that. And now he's got 10th top 10. If you're top 10 in giving points up, you can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
If your offense is how good it needs to be in the NFL. So. Even when he does okay, he can't even.
I understand.
Defend it.
I understand, Homer, that statistically, this team is bordering a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
You watch them play every week.
Correct.
Are they a top 10 defense?
No. But you can't deny that they're limiting people to scoring. They're limiting the.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Yes, the Chargers could put them up for 100, but they got the Giants. And, you know. You'd like to so yes, if you can, the reality is this, and I should be Joe Barry. If we can finish 10th in points given up, you can win the Super Bowl. Look at the last 2 years. Both Kansas City and the Rams were like 13th or 14th in points given up. You know what they were in points scored? Like in the top 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So I he amazes me, like, just to answer this question. He doesn't even have a good answer. You know, you could say, well, the ends need to be in tighter or something. He's more concerned in that situation with giving up the pass,
well,
right?
Yeah,
there's
no doubt about it. Because here's Barry trying to defend his run defense scheme this past Sunday against the Steelers after giving up 200 yards and allowing, again, on the one play everybody wants to talk about, which Chewy and I also talk about in this week's All 22, which is coming out in about an hour. Check out ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page for Chewy's reaction to that play. But here's Barry trying to defend himself.
When you make a call, you know, you got a 50-50 chance that it's going to be run or pass. So, you know, we talk about all the time whether you're in split safety defense, where when you're in split safety defense and they do choose to run the ball, you know, you're a safety short in the run fit. You have to defend the run with truly your front. The thing that was disappointing about those explosive runs that we gave up, we were in what we refer to as solo gap defense, meaning we're bringing a safety to the party. We're bringing a safety down. And when an offense is in a one-back formation to the tight end side, there's four gaps you have to defend. Away from the tight end side, there's three gaps. So there's seven gaps that you have to defend. Well, if you have four down linemen, two inside backers and a safety down, you have seven men for seven gaps. And that was the thing that was, you know, that was a bummer, that in, on those explosive runs we were in, you know, we were gapped out, as we call it.
You know,
and whether we missed tackles, you know, we missed, you know, we had the most missed tackles of any game last Sunday. So that's a bad combination.
You know, it's a bummer to me when you start your whole premise with, well, when you call a play, it's a 50-50 chance of run or pass.
I agree with that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The dumbest.
What?
Because.
What? Like, yeah. Theoretically speaking, yes, there are two options for the offense, run or pass.
But it's never 50-50.
It's not how any of this
works.
And
it's removing the idea that the Steelers lined up in that formation knowing the look they were going to get, knowing the single gap, knowing they were bringing the safety down. They knew 100% they were going to run the ball at the middle.
I know the Packers defense is doing research. I know they're getting printed out reports about tendencies and all that sort of thing.
He doesn't use them.
But if you open up saying, well, it's 50-50, maybe they run, maybe they pass. If you open up any sort of statement with that, you're not paying attention to any of it.
Yeah, no, he has no, they make no adjustments to anything. They just don't do it. I mean, like the whole thing is the benefit defensively, isn't the number one benefit you try to do is to know what they're going to do so that it's not 50-50, mm-hmm. that given the formation the offense has, and the players, that I would think if you're a good defensive coordinator, you should know like 80-20, whether it's going to be a run or a pass, predict it. I mean, you still have the adjustments of the players.
Sure.
And
Tony Romo does it from the box.
Yeah.
He does it from Homer spot.
Yeah. Chewy, I mean, I have sat next to Chewy during one of Craig's Super Bowl parties like years ago, and Chewy can do the same thing.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, watch this. Here's what they're going to do.
Right.
And then the snap happens. I go, oh,
plus
I'm not leaving my seat.
I didn't have any of the reporters
right
to
here.
Say it, but Bulaga looked at the stat where it was 3.5 yards on average
before he was touched.
Right, and I go, well, what's the norm? He goes, when I played, if we got two, we thought it was a Hall of Fame. He couldn't comprehend how you could get that many yards. I mean, he all but was saying, did they have 11 players on the, like, you can't. So. You know.
Usually when a coach speaks, and the coordinators and assistant coaches are available once a week, every Thursday, shouldn't you feel better? Like, Joe Barry has not made anything Never. Better every time he opens up his mouth.
I agree.
And I would think the more he talks, the more he's got to be talking about himself. And I've done, like, just circles on this topic in my head of, is Matt LaFleur want Joe Barry back? Should Joe Barry be back? And all these different things throughout the course of the week. Because the way that LaFleur defended him earlier this week makes me think that Joe Barry is going to be back. But the way that Joe Barry just spoke there, and I understand he doesn't have a say in the coaching staff, But don't you think that Brian Gutekunst would want Joe Barry gone? Because if you listen to Joe Barry speak, oh, this is the defense we had. You know, we've got one guy for every gap. Okay, so now the players aren't any good, and the guy responsible for the players is Brian Gutekunst, so it's his fault, not your fault. You've got him in the right spots.
I don't have an answer, but I know one thing for sure. He refuses to tell people the truth. He's afraid, for some reason, to explain his defense and what he does.
Because there's no explanation for it.
Right, because it can't be that stupid.
But you can't...
You know, if a guy was a defensive coordinator and he said, you know, every play it's 50-50, come on in, you're fired. I mean, that's the basic... It's a violation of the... So he can't believe that. Now, so I want to say, Joe, why do you say that? What are you scared? I think he's scared to say, I don't give a damn about the run.
It's like Dame Lillard going to the line, go, well, it's 50-50, he makes it or not.
Exactly.
There's only two options. Yes. Either he makes it or he misses it.
No. You know what that is? We're on defense, and we foul Lillard. They go, what'd you foul? We foul him every time. 50-50 when he goes to the line. No, you can't. That's what basically Joe Barry is saying.
Yes.
This is what we do. Would you think of fouling someone who shoots less? No, it's 50-50.
What?
Even if you get into the weeds of what he's saying in the single gap and bringing a safety down, the Steelers had Darnell Washington on the field, who is 6'7", 270 pounds.
Yeah, he's another offensive
lineman. That's just another offensive tackle. So now you're putting your safety in a one-on-one matchup against a guy and you expect him to win? You expect Isaiah McDuffie to beat the right guard? Like, it doesn't make sense. No matter how you break it down, he didn't have the right play or the right call there. You need to overload.
I want him to have somehow do this. Now, tell me how it could be worked out where you're playing against Joe Barry or it's a practice. You have 9 offensive linemen, a quarterback, and a running back. Hey, Joe, is it 50-50? That's what I would do if I was on the
team. He would say yes.
I don't know what he would say. I'd just be having fun with it.
Goodness. 800-990-3776. Joe in Manitowoc saying, no positivity Friday today.
Oh, crap.
I
have positivity.
I mean, we had the kick. We did this thing with the kicker.
That's the grace. Yeah. No, I think that Jordan Love could, if they win this game, Jordan Love puts up some points, this would be huge for him. To beat the team that has the great young quarterback.
Well, so you fundamentally disagree with somebody else who was on the Homer Hour who I thought had the line of the week. We'll get into that coming up next here.
I know that line.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee, of course, it's only at the Jewelry Center. Their team of specialists will help you bring her dream ring to life. They did for me. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to go with, worked with the team at the Jewelry Center, and ended up with the perfect ring when it came time to propose to my wife. And if you're not somebody like that, well, maybe you can bring in some ideas. Look on our Pinterest board. And the Jewelry Center team, the team that Dean has assembled over there, they're fantastic. They'll be able to take care of the rest. Maybe you're not in the ring in the ring business. You're not looking for an engagement ring, but you're looking to gift some stud earrings this holiday season. Jewelry Center has options 2, 3, 4 karat total weight diamonds. And of course, they have lab grown and naturally mined. Always have options at the Jewelry Center. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection. Shop TJC.com or stop in at any one of the 3 Jewelry Center locations in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, and tell them that Chewy and Gabe sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit?
Gotten? A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chargers coming up on Sunday. Make sure you tune in. Homer's guy Brian Bulaga going to be a part of Green Bay Game Day live from the Tundra Trio up in Green Bay. And then Homer, myself, Tausch, going to be hanging out with you after the game for Green Bay game night. You can always react to a Packers win or a Packers loss. So although I think a lot of us are leaning towards Packers loss, and that includes Tim Van Voren, who joins Homer each and every Wednesday, a part of the Homer Hour. I was driving in my car, and I heard TVV deliver quite possibly the line of the week.
How many points do the Packers have to score to beat the Chargers?
Not
30,
more than they
28?
Can. More than they can. I mean, they're averaging, what, about 19 points, 20 points a game?
What? How can you say that?
More than they can was quite possibly just in the way only TVV can was just so blunt and to the points.
Yes, but kindly stated.
Because and that's the one thing, even though we walked away from Sunday's game feeling better about Jordan Love and him getting close to that 300-yard game, something that hasn't happened in nearly 2 years for the Green Bay Packers, a 300-yard passing game, they still only scored 19 points. And that's been their issue ever since week two. They haven't gotten past the 20-point threshold. They haven't scored three touchdowns in a game. And to me, that's the next step for Jordan Love. Can you win a shootout? Because that's what you're probably going to have to do over the course of the next three games. Because you're playing three offenses, and I understand that the Chiefs have struggled, but they still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. I would assume that they're going to find a way to put up points. Are you able, if one of those three games turns into a shootout, can you win? Right now, the answer for the Packers is no. So that's the next step for Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Is to be able to translate that 289 yards into more touchdowns.
Yeah, I didn't emphasize enough that Jordan Love leads the NFL in 30-yard completions. Number one in the league.
How many
does
he have?
Number one, 17. And when I saw that, mm-hmm. I thought, I must be watching the wrong team. So Reed has 7.
Yep.
Musgrave has 4. So, yeah, he leads the league. Stafford is 2nd. Jordan Love leads the league in 30-yard-plus passes.
Which doesn't make sense to me.
That makes no sense. And they can't get to 20 points.
They can't get to 20 points. He can't get to 300 yards passing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's just the deep ball. They go to it so much. It is in seemingly every set of downs.
Yes, that's correct.
You know how they get there? They break the 20-point threshold. It's Keyshawn Nixon returning a kick for a touchdown. That's how they get there.
Yeah, or like a pick six. Defense. Yeah. They've had so few turnovers.
In order for the Packers to beat the Chargers, yes, I think it's either a defensive or a special teams touchdown. They'll need that because the offense is just too inconsistent at this point. 800-990-3776. Let's go to Rocky in Sheboygan. Rocky, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Cousin Sub of the Day, Homer.
Homer and the Goose.
What's up, buddy?
I still remember your guys' show where Homer tried to get you a nickname. But anyhow.
I remember that, too.
It's true, yes. Flash.
We have to come to a realization that nobody on the coaching staff or the GM are going anywhere because Matt LaFleur is not going to fire Joe Barry Carroll. Brian Gutekunst doesn't have the authority to tell Matt LaFleur either he goes or you go. And Mark Murphy is so caught up in his silos that he's just going to sit back and let whatever happens, because he's kind of like a manager that's in the last year of his contract. I don't think he really cares. He's just taking it all in. And the best thing Mark Murphy can do for this organization is retire at the end of the season.
Well, that's not going to happen. I would think the only possibility as far as LaFleur is if he's worried about his, not just necessarily in Green Bay, but his future as a head coach and whether that would require him to fire or change with defensive coordinators.
I guess where I disagree with Rocky is I think Mark Murphy cares. I think Mark Murphy cares a lot. I think that's led him to make some tough decisions and probably some bad decisions in terms of doing the structure the way he set it up. And I honestly have no idea, because the one thing I know for sure about Mark Murphy is the dude's got an ego.
Yes.
Because you have to if you're opening up and announcing, hey, here's our new head coach. I'm going to speak for 20 minutes before we get to him. So is that ego going to have him go, man, things are going poorly. How do I want these last couple of years to be remembered? Do I step in? Do I fire the coach and then hire a new one and set up whoever the next president is going to be, or do I allow that person to do it? That's the biggest question to me from Mark Murphy is he going to overreact or react at all over the next two seasons before he has to retire? Because again, he has the entire offseason before 2020. He has to retire in July of 25.
Yes.
So I don't know if he's going to step in after this season or after next season.
Not gonna do anything after this season.
I would agree. I don't think. I think that just it's part of the plan. We're we lost Aaron Rodgers. It's a young team. I'm going to give these guys a little bit more time. But is
the key will be after the 24 season.
But by that time, you would think, and maybe it's not announced, but by that time, by January 2025,
mm-hmm.
you would think that the next president is already decided on.
I don't. It might be, but that doesn't mean that Murphy wouldn't, as you just alluded to, might still think that he's best qualified to set it up well for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing them a favor. Because I'm taking care of stuff. I've been doing this for so long. I mean, the person taking over, I guess it depends who that person was.
I think, but it's going to be policy.
You said best. You don't know how Murphy would view that.
Yeah. I don't know what his...
He certainly has the ego to where it's possible to me that he could make the change for the next person.
Correct. But this is how I want to be remembered, because he also took over a team that had a general manager and a head coach already in place. Those decisions were made by Bob Harlan. Well, not by Bob, but Bob had hired Ted, and then Ted had hired Mike McCarthy.
Right, and Murphy has a Super Bowl, so he's in the club.
Yep.
That doesn't answer what we're both asking, because there are actions that he's made that would justify going either way.
800-990-3776. More of your calls. We have a text here as well that I want us to dive into. That's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I want to let you know, because after today, the weather looks like it's going to get cold, and it's going to be tough to get those clubs out and play golf outside. But X Golf at American Family Field is open all winter long. It's overlooking left field in American Family Field. If you're looking for a place to improve your game this year, X-Golf at American Family Field is the place to do it. Get a lesson with their PGA head pro in Andy Barrett. Or maybe you're looking for a big event to throw. This is an amazing space. Great food inside American Family Field. If you haven't checked it out, maybe go check it out. Have some of the food for lunch. Get some swings in over your lunch break. Conveniently located inside American Family Field. And as I mentioned, open all winter long. Book your sim today at xgolfamfamfield.com. And gift cards are available. Perfect stocking stuffer as we get to the holiday season as well. XGolf, AmFamField.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen on the way. I mean, by the way, we said the wrong name of the town that Jen is heading
to. Important correction.
Yeah. James Madison is in Harrisonburg.
Oh, that's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Sunburg. You just did
a Carissa Thompson.
Well, no, you can't. No, you can't be. You can be Harrison. You can be Harrisburg. To be Harrisonburg?
Nobody knows where any of those cities are. It proves again. James Madison? Do you know when somebody sees that, the first thing they think is, they play football?
I'm just saying, in general, if you're naming a town, you can be Harrison, you can be Harrisburg, you can't be Harrisonburg.
I agree.
You can't do the sun and the berg. That's greedy. Just greedy.
But I haven't looked. I'd like to know who their coach is or what's the dynamics of what's going on. Because
they're undefeated and trying to figure out. I think they've got, again, more litigation in the NCAA.
Right.
They're trying to sue their
way. I mean, I know Liberty's been good, but they've been good before.
Yeah.
I mean, Liberty's made a commitment to
college
sports.
James Madison has as well. 800-990-3776. Packers Chargers coming up this weekend. Allen has been patiently waiting online.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah, sure.
Before James Madison beat Wisconsin?
I mean, yeah. Probably.
You have to count for it.
Yeah. I mean, would Wisconsin be favored? Maybe. But right now, with this, the way Wisconsin's playing?
One team's ranked.
Anything's possible. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
And one's fighting to make a bowl.
Yes.
Alan in Milwaukee. Alan, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Cousin Sub of the Day, Homer.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
That
Badger subject is for another day.
Yeah, that's
I can make it real quick. It's real simple. Do you still believe in Luke Fickell? Yes or no? I do. Do you? Because if you don't, then you're scared. It could be another Anderson. What was his first name, Coach? What was they brought him
Gary
in?
Anderson. Gary Anderson.
You know, Barry was amazed how good his defense was, and they played him, and it didn't fit, and it was a mess. So I want to see what Fickell does, because I can't believe he's going to let everything stay the same, because it wouldn't admit the disaster this season has been. So do you still believe in him, yes or no?
I mean, that's what happens when you hire a flash. When you hire a flash in the pan,
take that as a no. All right, we can move on. Good, that's okay.
But I mean, to be fair to Fickell, he wasn't a flash in the pan. Yes, they flashed and made the college football playoff the 1 year, but they hung in that game. And Cincinnati had been good before and a little bit after. Were they a top four team in the country? No, they needed everything to fall in place.
And he understands the mentality. He's
at Ohio State. Yes. So I still believe in Fickell right now. I'm not going to pull the plug after nine games, whatever it is. Your question, Alan.
My question. So I do agree with the last caller saying that we have to realize nobody's going anywhere. But the thing I wanted to ask is to expand on that is that do we have to get used to an idea that possibly Goody could be the replacement for Mark after he retires? Because typically in that position, sometimes they're bringing somebody from the outside and sometimes it's somebody who knows the company better than anybody else, and he has been there for an extremely long time. So
0% chance, less than 0% chance.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, Goody's not going to be the president. But again,
is there a chance though that Goody gets back into the traditional general manager who gets to decide who the head coaches are, and that way
that's going
to
be interesting because so the favorite at this point. And I don't know if this is something Jason said or if if you start paying attention to the stuff. Ed Policy, who is the current COO and general counsel for the Packers, is kind of the favorite to step into that role. Now, who knows? I mean, it's not like Ed Policy is the COO who's given a bunch of press conferences. Hey, just in case you become the next president, how do you think what do you think the organizational structure of a football team should be? Like, nobody can ask Ed Policy that. But if Policy ends up being the guy, I don't know. I mean, can you, with these two, the way they were hired, can you reorganize that? Yes. Would it be awkward? Probably. I mean, the best thing to do is one or the other gets fired. I mean, and probably it would have to be Goody, and then you reorganize it. I think but Goody's not going to be the president. Again, it seems that Ed Policy is the favorite at this point.
I'm looking up his Wikipedia page.
Ed Policy?
Yes. It says he played youth football for the Poland Bulldogs. I don't know that I've ever seen any mention of youth football ever in the history. He then went on and
Say what the team's record was? Were they any good?
No, I think.
What position did he play?
He went to Notre Dame and Stanford Law School. But yeah, he's been with the Packers for a number of years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2012.
And of course, his family's been in the football industry for a while.
Yep. No, he's in the club. He fits.
Yeah. He would make sense as kind of that next one in line. Along the same lines of the question that Alan in Milwaukee was asking, Adam in the Unknown hit us up on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. If you could fire only one, is it Goody or Barry? The other stays at least another year. That's easy for me. That's so easy. It's the easiest question you could possibly ask, Adam.
Yeah.
It's Joe Barry.
Right. That's said by someone who doesn't like Goody. Yeah. If you compare them, and I get that. There's Goody's... Yeah. You get all these draft choices if they do it well and lose games. But if you don't believe in Goody picking them, then...
And there's a conversation to be had there.
Yes.
I mean, Chewy and I, not that long ago, went through the past draft classes, and everybody was very high on last year's draft class.
Not so much
And
this
they're
year.
Souring on last year's draft class very quickly.
We know one thing. He's not special. I mean, you could get rid of Goody, and some people would argue, but nobody can say it's a horrible decision. Because he really hasn't done anything. If Jordan Love turns out good, then you have. But he brought all the free agents in the first year, and that really helped for the defense. But aside from that, what's special about,
I mean, I guess this isn't special, but his legacy very well could be a general manager who traded Hall of Famers in back-to-back offseason.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Unless he wins something. Yeah. Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah, unless Jordan Love turns out to be a special quarterback that you think you can win a Super Bowl with, that's going to be the legacy of...
And you don't have anything on the other end, the pluses. Well, they won 13 games. You know, he improved the defense. They won 13 games 3 years in a row. Yeah, they never even made a Super Bowl. There's no... What's at the top of his resume?
Yeah, you know, going to back-to-back NFC Championship games.
Okay.
And again, that was on the backs of not a lot of the players that he drafted.
Correct.
You know, and when you start diving into his draft classes, and I know Jen had the stat earlier about first-round picks and signing second contracts. There's not a lot of his guys that are signing second contracts with the Packers. Again, that could change, and the problem, I approach this draft class, this year's draft class, with cautious optimism, because while I do like Jaden Reed, and I like Dontavian Wicks, and I believe that that's the future of the wide receiver position for the Packers, and Luke Musgrave has looked good, and it seems like he's maybe hitting on some of these guys. We'll have to wait to see on Luke, with Lucas Van Ness, because he's someone who's developing. We kind of felt the same way about Dobbs and Watson last year, did we not?
Yep, exactly.
And then they didn't really take that next step forward this year. And maybe they still do in year three. Who knows? Because they're clearly not going to give up on either one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the resume for Brian Gutekunst isn't overwhelmingly strong where he's above reproach.
Right. Not everybody says he should be fired. But if he got fired, there wouldn't be a large group going, that's the stupidest decision they ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. And I'll tell you what, Brian Bulaga seems to be a believer in Matt LaFleur.
Yes, yes.
Because I know this was yesterday on the Homer Hour yesterday, and it's a little bit of a longer clip, but if you're looking at people, you know, in the organization, who's going to be here in the future, how does Matt LaFleur factor in?
I was surprised how strong he was.
And I mean, again, in Bulaga, as a veteran player who played for Matt LaFleur, nothing but high praise for him yesterday on the Homer Hour.
I would imagine LaFleur does feel that, hey, man, this is a young roster. This team is hard to win with right now. But I don't think he's looking at it as it's negatively impacting his resume, because I think he's going to be the Packers head coach for a long time. I really do. I think he's a good football coach.
Yeah. Hold on. We got to write this down.
So I think he's a good football coach.
Okay.
I think he's a good football coach. I think he's a good guy to lead a football team. I enjoyed my time with him. I really enjoyed.
What was the best part about him? Best part about him, because you played for various coaches at many levels. Best part about LaFleur as a football coach?
As a football coach? Well, yeah. I guess I look at it differently because I thought what he did, especially because our team was so bad the two prior years in 18 and 17, to me, what he came in and did was make it fun again, right? Like he made the locker room, he made the building, he made everything seem more fun again. Going out on the practice field was fun again. The practices were fun again. Because we weren't having much fun in 18 and 17. We just weren't, you know, we were playing bad. So for a coach to be able to come in to a losing culture, and not that Green Bay was a losing culture, it never was when you have Aaron at the helm, but you have two back-to-back, you know, losing seasons with a Hall of Fame quarterback, that's, you're starting to build a little bit of a losing culture there. Like, that's no good. So for him to come in, turn that thing around, and get everyone to start enjoying playing the game again.
How did he do that?
I think that's huge to have a former player kind of give that type of endorsement for Matt LaFleur.
Yes, totally.
And it makes me think that, again, youth is such a huge issue, and that these guys aren't necessarily being, you know, it's not poor coaching, it's just young guys who are having a hard time grasping that coaching. We did have a question on the poll earlier today that we are going to answer coming up next, and that is, can you still be a dude at 69 years old? We'll find that out coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Mantality, local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, I use Mantality, and I didn't even realize I was dealing with low testosterone. I thought it was just, okay, I'm getting up, I'm doing the morning show, I'm a little more tired throughout the course of the day, and we'd been working with Mantality for a little bit, and they offered, hey, you want to get the blood panel done? Just, you know, kind of see how our process works? Yeah, sure, I'll go through it. Results came back, testosterone levels were low, and now I'm working with Mentality on a customized testosterone treatment plan just for me. So I've got that energy to attack the day and do all the different things that I need to do in order to get through my day. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality at lowtusa.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Yeah, question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj.
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Always great to go into weekend with this song. And our question, the one question we put on the poll today.
The only one that matters.
Because we usually, this is Dude Friday. It's me, Chewy, Joshy hanging out. Homer wasn't sure if he was a dude. Thinks he's too old. So he asked, can you still be a dude at 69 years old? Homer says no. But the public says yes. 72% say yes, still a dude.
Me. Yeah, because they can think of one. The guys on Twitter, yeah. What'd they have with Jeff Bridges.
The dude from
the
Big
Lebowski. Yeah, we said Euchre. All right, yeah.
Euchre's a dude.
I feel like football coaches lend themselves to being dudes even in their older age.
Yeah, like Bill Parcells.
That's a dude.
I may need a definition of dude then.
It's one of those things. You know it when you see it. Especially with the, I mean, you're rolling in here.
I don't think
here.
Bill Parcells is a dude.
Bill Belichick.
What? Parcells might be, but not Belichick. Belichick's boring. Now, I mean, I know privately, apparently he's not, but the impression that he gives in terms of how he does things in public.
Yeah, well, as Wisconsin Sports Tweets points out, the dude is attitude, not age. Mm-hmm. And look, you're rolling in here wearing a sharp Jordan Marquette basketball hoodie. That's a dude move.
Yeah, okay.
You're hip.
Okay, fine.
We beat him into submission.
Yes, you have. I'm not going to. I'm pretty comfortable knowing who and what I am. But you guys want to run with that? Then you'll get me to retire. That'll guarantee that I retire.
Oh, man. Greg in the 262 just being mean. You can be a dude, but Homer, no way. No, Homer's a dude.
Yes, that's fine.
No, Homer's a dude,
Greg. All right,
Greg. Okay.
Homer, if you were to use one word to describe yourself, what would that be? Because dude clearly isn't it. So there's got to be one thing in your head that thinks explains you in a single word.
Well, I know it is. I'm a legend in my own mind. That's not a single word.
That's actually
that's fair. That's totally
but if you're a legend in your own mind, you're a right. dude. You got the attitude of a dude.
If you're a legend in behavior. Other people's mind, that makes you a dude.
No, but again, the dude's
like
about the attitude.
People go up and say, hey, you know, he's famous. And I go, if you have to be told that someone is famous, they're not famous. No, that you don't decide. If you're a dude, people decide if you're a dude, which we're doing now, right? Now you can decide it. That's fine, but that doesn't mean that counts, right?
Pete McGuanago wants to chime in with the one word to describe Homer.
Yeah.
Cheap.
We've got a celebrity who wants to add some dudes to the list here.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, Jason Wilding.
Yes, good choice.
Morgan Freeman.
Greed.
Dudes. Paul Newman before he passed away.
Yeah, we're going to have all entertainers
next. You're an entertainer.
You're an edutainer. Yes, you said it yourself.
That is, yes. I stole that from my dad. He was the world's greatest edutainer, and when he sent us that, I go, Dad, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. I go, who's second? Who'd you pass? Just walked away.
No, I think Homer's a dude.
All right.
Right? Jason, you're with him, right? Homer's a
Sean
dude.
Sean Connery, be old and be a dude. Yeah, no. I just want to take this opportunity before our show starts. Because I connected early because Joshy asked me
how
to.
How sure is a dude?
Yeah, but he's not an old dude. He's just a middle-aged dude right now. Okay. We're talking about old dudes, and you're a dude. You are at your best when surrounded by Gabe and me.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And
I'll join that club.
And Bulaga.
And Bulaga, yes.
Homer, we
Sorry.
Appreciate
Didn't
you.
Mean to crash your show.
Oh, no, we appreciate it, Jason. Wilde and Tausch, they're coming up next. Homer, appreciate you, bud.
Happy to do it.